All right, so we're going to finish up Hilchos Avodah Zarah today, I think. We're in Parakut Be'ez. We're going to finish up some other halachas, both Doraisa and Darabanan issues, and some of them should be fairly familiar. So let's get to it. So the Rambam says we're dealing with using a blade to cut off hair. So we discussed already the different peyot on the face and the head, as well as the issue of cutting your mustache. Now in Halakha Tes, the Rambam says ha'avar ha'seyar mishar ha'guf, okay, removing hair from other parts of your body. It could go on base a shechi or base a erva. So for instance, around your genitals and your armpits, eino aser min haTorah. Elam adivrei sofrim. Okay? So it's interesting. So there's no Isser d'oraisa to do that, but the Rabbanon came along and created a separate Isser to shave those areas. Now we're referring to men. Okay? V'ha'maviro makinus o makas martus. And you actually get makas d'Rabbanon. But medvar ma'murim b'makam she'in ma'viron oso ela nashim. Right? Kedosh li'itakin atzmati kunashim. So that's the key. The issue is it's only if it's an area that only women would normally shave. So then that prohibition applies. Now, his lashon's funny here. But if it's an area that both men and women remove hair from, then you wouldn't get makas martus. It doesn't sound like he's endorsing it. Rather, he's saying you won't be over any izer. But then he says, but when it comes to removing hair on any limb with scissors, that's 100% mutter. Okay? So this is going to segue soon into the issue of Beged Ish, which is about to get into. So this is like a transition point. But basically, the issue is when it comes to removing hair, for a male, the issue is removing hair in, let's say, your armpit. The problem there is if that's exclusive to what women do, then it becomes a problem. Okay? Now, of course, you're going to say... So now he says it is. Now he says Malacha Yud. Okay. Lo se'ade isha, ade ish, ha'ish, okay, k'gon she'tasin barosha mitznefes akova al tilbash siryon k'yotzeba. O she'tikaleach rosha k'ish. Okay, so a woman, she's not allowed to adorn herself, okay, or literally put on certain types of, like, hats, for instance. I won't say today, but, like, let's say, like, there's a hat that's unique to, that only men wear, okay? So there's a hat that normally in society only men wear, it'd be prohibited for her to put it on. To wear it. And she can't get a haircut like a man does either, which is very interesting today because I think that's shifted a lot. But in general, a woman's not allowed to get a haircut that men exclusively get. Okay? And not only that, it goes, the verse is true also. V'lo ya'ad ish ad isha k'gon sh'yil bash big day tzivonin v'chal izav makom shein lotion osana kelim. Okay? So a man also can't adorn himself with like colorful clothing or certain types of jewelry. Okay, in places where women normally do that, that's the key line. The key line to this entire line of thinking, which is men adorning themselves with what women wear and women adorning themselves with what men wear, it's all about minoga medina. So what could have been a problem 100 years ago today may not be a problem. And that's a critical point, especially when it comes to today's issues, which get still a little touchy. For instance, is for women wearing pants, is that considered Beged Ish? Right? The Rambam was certainly of the belief that it goes by Minag Medina, and as long as something's not exclusive to one gender, don't ask me what the percentage is, but as long as it's not exclusive to one gender, then it's not a problem, okay? Now, if this is done, Ish Ada in Ish, and V'ish Adasa Ada Ish Lokin. But if you do this, you get Malkus, okay? So you're dealing with the Raisa, okay? Okay, and then, of course, there's another famous halacha. Okay, hamilakit saros levanos, right? Mitoch ashkoros mirosho omizkano, right? So let's say a man, okay, what do you call it? Tries to cut out the white hairs from his hair or his beard, okay? Misha yilakit sara achas loke, meisha ada idish. So this is a famous idea. You're not allowed to, a man is not allowed to pluck out the white hairs from among his black hair or his other normal colored hair. Because that's considered a type of adorning. V'cheinim tzavas aro shachor. Okay? Also, if a man dyes his hair black. Mishi yitzva seyar levana achas loke. If one hair gets dyed, okay, he gets malchus. Okay? So it's an interesting thing that there's, this is a very, very stringent halacha. So even going like this, to pick out a white hair, for the purpose of picking out a white hair, or to, as I think many people know, to dye your hair is prohibited. Midoraisa. Tumtum Vandroganus, okay? Remember those two guys, well, I don't know if that's the right word to use, but those two people are stuck in this, like, kind of a netherworld. So, Eina Otev Keisha, okay? Velo Megalech Rosho Keish. Vimasakein Eina Lokes. So, again, remember, they get the chumras of each side. So, they shouldn't wear a hat like a woman, and they shouldn't shave like a man. So they're stuck in this netherworld. But they're not over. They don't get malchus if they did it. Okay? Okay. So that was a little digression. Now it gets back to things that the non-Jews do that we're not allowed to imitate because they have roots in idolatry. So Halacha Yud Aleph is Ksoves Kaka Hamur Batara. Right? So what is that? That's tattoos. Okay? So what's the Issa Daraisa of a tattoo? So it's Hushi Yishrat Al Basaro. Right, so he carves into his skin, so to speak. V'yimolim makom asrita kachol odayo or shart sivonim haromzim. So there's two actions done. One is to, in a sense, to flay off the area, so to speak, and then to insert the ink. Okay, and that's how a tattoo is made. V'zehaya minaga akum shiromshim atzman la'avol kachavim. So this is what the Avodah Zarah would do. Okay, they would make these tattoos for the purpose of Avodah Zarah. Klamar shu Evan Machrullah Umorsham Avodasa, right? So they would inscribe these tattoos into their skin for the purpose of idol worship. Umeis Shayirsham Echa Midvaram Haroshman Acha Shayirshot Beza Makom Minakuf Ben Ish Ben Isha Loke. So the moment you begin, you don't have to go through the whole design. Let's say you want to make a tattoo of an Israeli flag. You don't have to go through the entire Israeli flag to be chayev. The moment the person begins the process, okay, the moment he cuts into the skin and now the ink goes into it, right, the moment that takes place, at that point, automatically you get malchus. But kasav alo rasha b'tzeva, o she rasha b'tzeva alo kasav b'srita pater. But let's say you only did one of the two steps, okay? For instance, let's say, and this is an important thing also, let's say you made like a temporary tattoo, okay? Meaning, it's not bored into your skin, rather, it's on the surface, right? Pater, okay? Your pater, ach yichsov v'kaka, shenemar uksoves kaka. Okay, so your pater. Now again, you gotta be careful. This is a shiloh brought down today among contemporary poskim, are like, you know, like, I forgot, a Cracker Jack, right? This goes, maybe some people on this, maybe too young for this, but Cracker Jack has those little, had those little water tattoos in them, where you take that little sticker, you put it in the water, and then you put it onto your skin, right? And it makes it look like a tattoo. So the Rambam's language of being pater might indicate it's pater ava asar, meaning you really still shouldn't do it. But I've seen many poskim who say no, that it's permitted to use to put on like a tattoo like that, even though because it's not really a tattoo. Okay, so you need both steps to be chayev, okay? But medvar amurim bekosev. So this is only if the person's actually making the tattoo. Aval zeh shekosvo bivsaro vekako bo eino chayev. Right, ela imkein saya kadesh yasem masa. But let's say someone did it to me, right? So then I wouldn't be chayev unless I assisted the person in bringing about that result. I'm not sure what the situation would be where a guy's just passive, but assuming he was, he wouldn't be chayev. Avim lo asaklum in a loka. So if he lies there passive and the tattoo's made, then he wouldn't be chayev. But as long as if he participates in any way in it, so then it's a problem. Okay. On that note, okay, you have another halacha here. Right, which is hasoret srita achas al ames. So again, that's like cutting yourself. You gouge yourself because over someone who dies. Okay, you get malchus. Shenemar viseret lenefesh lo sitnu v'sarchem. That's open from the Torah. Echad kohen ve'echad Yisrael. It doesn't matter if you're kohen Yisrael. Soret srita achas. Okay, now it's interesting. Now soret srita achas al chamesh mesim o chamesh srita al mes echad lo ke chamesh. Right. So if I do one gouging, okay. someone asked about henna. Maybe remind me at the end. If you make a if you gouge yourself, right? If you cut into yourself, or like you pull into your skin, one time for five dead people, right? Or five different ones. Or five different ones for one mace, you get five malchus. Okay, as long as v'hush yisru bo'a kol achas v'achas. As long as you got hasra worn for each one, okay. So each gouging has its own will get its own malchus as well. If I do one for five people who are dead, also I would get five malchus as well, okay. And then within Sriti, you have something called Gadita, which is also, in other words, there's two kinds of cutting. There's like incisions, like using like a scalpel, for instance, versus like just like ripping your skin off, okay? Like gouging. So Gadita is Sriti Achasi. So they're both the same. Ugashem Shahyu Akum Sortim if Sarma Masam, Bibne Atsar, right? So it's just like they would like gouge themselves or over the death of somebody because of the overwhelming sadness. They also would injure themselves, right? They would cut themselves for the purpose of idolatry. Shenemar v'yis godadu k'mishpatam. So gamze asra Torah shenemar losis godadu. Now this may sound familiar. Losis godadu is an oft-quoted pasuk. We'll get to what it also refers to in a second. But here, losis godadu. Elosh al meis bein sarp yado bein sarp akli loke. The difference, though, is that when it comes to if you're gouging yourself because of someone who died, it doesn't matter whether you use your hands or you use like a knife. But by avodas chachavim, you dafka need a kli. So you would need like a scalpel in order to be chayev makus. If you cut yourself with your hand, and for the shame of avodas chachavim, it's pater. Okay. Now, what else does in losis go to do? So this is also a very famous thing the Rambam does here. There's no reason why he has to do this here. He could have waited until Hilchos Sanhedrin, where this issue is more apropos. But there's another halacha we learn from Losis Godadu. And halacha yadad, uvechlal azharazeh. Right? And it's a very important thing to emphasize here, because it's very rare you'll see a word like Losis Godadu, right, have two completely different d'oraisa implications. One iser, right, with two isurim, or two expressions of iser, that really have no relation to each other. I think I had a svar years ago of how they are related, but on the surface, they have no relation to each other. So what's the other iser? Uvechal azarazeh, shelo yu shnei batei dina bir achas. Zeh noa k'minag zeh, v'zeh noa k'minag acher. You can't have in one city two batei dinim, okay? You can't have two bezdins. Where what happens? One says A and the other says B, and then what's going to end up happening? So this problem is that what's going to end up happening is you're going to have two sets of halacha being done in the city. Okay, now it's interesting because today we don't obviously we're kind of not very sensitive to this halacha, because you can go to any you can go to Israel tries to, because they do try to have, again, putting politics to the side, a centralized rabbinut system. But when you go to America, it's like the Wild West. I mean, you can go into, what do you call it? I'm not saying it doesn't happen here too, but like you can go to, what do you call it? The five towns, and you'll have like this kashrus and that kashrus and this level and that level, and you'll have different batei dinin, so to speak, different halachic decisors determining what halacha is, and you have different menhagim. This guy's machmir about that, that guy's machmir about that. You know, the azhar of losis godadu is to prevent a halachic system where in one city, for example, you have two or more different halachic psak coming out. It's very, very bad, at least in machlokos. Now, it's interesting that, again, you learn out losis godadu, the iser of gouging yourself, cutting yourself, and you also learn out losis godadu of creating machlokos gedolos, having multiple bate dinin in one city. Okay, on the surface, they don't seem to have any actual, relationship to each other, okay? Okay. Another thing people would do in anguish when someone passes away is pull out their hair, tear their hair out. So that's halacha tesvav. Hakorech karcha alameis, loke, shenebro lo sasimu karcha bein enichem lameis. So you're, essence, creating a bald spot. You're pulling out a bunch of hair in anguish. Echad yisrael v'echa kohen, shekarcha alameis, ena loke ela achas. Right, but you only get one makas. However, hakareach arba or chamesh krachos al meitzachad lokev kiminin akrachos. So each spot, each bald spot you create, gets its own chiyav malchus. V'husher hisra ba kol karcha b'karcha. And of course, you have to get hasra for each bald spot that you create. Okay, echad hakareach biyado o b'sam. Okay, so it doesn't matter if you used your hands or let's say a cream, right? O hitzbil etzbaosav b'sam v'nicham b'chamesh b'kamos b'rosho. Or I dip my finger into this cream and I put it on my hair to create the bald spot. Bevasachas hol v'karach chamesh karchos afa pishi hiasra achas loke chamesh shrei kulon bank achas. You would still get five different, what it called, malchus. Okay, so again, it doesn't matter how you brought about the bald spot. Okay, none of the guests, you would get malchus. V'chayev al kol rosh kebein ha'inayim shenemar lo yikir kol karchot rosham. Doesn't matter if it's literally between your eyes or anywhere else on your, what do you call it, on your head. So what's the shear of a bald spot? So garis. So garis is a shear that's often used. It's also used in the area of kasamim by nida. Garis today would be about the size of either a dime or a penny. So it's a small, it's not that big. It's a small area that you pull out from your head. And Halacha Tazayin, now he ends off with, HaKorech Rosho, O HaSoret Bivsaro, Al Beso Shenafal, Val Svinaso Shenitva, Bayam Pater. Now let's say a guy pulls out his hair, or cuts himself, like he gouges himself, because his house collapsed, or because of his boats sank, okay? Then he's Pater. Vein Eloke El Alameis Bovad, O HaSoret Lavotzuchavim. So you only get Malkus if the Srita is done either for the deceased, or it's done for Avotzuchavim. HaKorech Karka Rosho Shel Chavero, right? That Soret Srita Bivasar Chavero, that kosev ksovis kakav visaro shachavero vaya chavero misaya. So let's say I ripped out the hair of my friend, or I gouged my friend's skin, or made a tattoo on him, and my friend assisted me, meaning he was not just passive, but was compliant in some outward way. Bizman shishnean mazidin shnean lokin. Interesting. So if they're both doing it on purpose, they would both get makos. Echa shogeg vecha mezid hamezid mishneim lokev v'shogeg pater. But if one was shogeg and one was mezid, only the mezid would get malchus, okay? So it's using halacha that there is a situation where if I am the tattooer and someone else is the receiver of the tattoo, in those cases, you could actually have a situation where both of them are, what do you call, are chayv malchus, okay? Okay. That ends, Hilchos Avodah Zarah. Okay, so now we'll do a little hakdama now to definitely one of the most well-known sections of the Rambam, which is Hilchos Tshuva. And that's the last Sefer in Hilchos, in Sefer Mada. There we go. Okay, one second. So I'm just opening it up. Okay. Now, Hilchos Tshuva, for those who have not been through Hilchos Tshuva before, Hilchos Tshuva does not spend as much time on repenting as you think. Okay? Basically, it's the first two prakim delve the most deeper into it. It does cover major topics in philosophy and metaphysics. Major topics. For instance, things like free will, things like Olam Haba, things like Yemosa Mashiach, all come about in some way in Hilchos Tshuva. Okay? So, it's an interesting thing. Rav Soloveitchik has said a lot about Hilchos Tshuva. One idea is we know Hilchos Tshuva is 10 prakim. So, there's a famous idea that a person should learn a parak of Hilchos Tshuva per day in Aras Eres Mei Tshuva. And also, the fact that the Rambam includes in Hilchos Tshuva knowledge of things like free will and Olam Haba means that part of repenting or knowledge of repentance includes knowing these philosophical ideas, okay? And you'll see they're not so simple, okay? So for those who had a more difficult time going through the nitty-gritty halachic stuff in Avodah Zarah, you'll like Hilchos Tshuva. There's very little halacha in this. We're also going to take up a lot of detail about philosophical heretics, okay, heretics in philosophy. Kofrim and Apikorsim and Minim and all sorts of other people who are, as the Rambam says, are Ma'aki from Tshuva, that they can never do Tshuva. Okay? It's a very fascinating work. And to this day, no one's really, other than Rabbeinu Yonah and his piece by Shari Tshuva, there really hasn't been like a book of Tshuva like this. This is, I think, the go-to for anyone when it comes to studying Tshuva. So, there's only one mitzvah in all of Hilchos Tshuva. And what is that? Again, listen to his language. Mitzvah sase achas, v'hu sheyashuv hachote mechato lifnei Hashem v'yizvade. Okay, so two components. One is the sinner returns, okay, right, from the sin that he did before God, and does vidui. Okay, vidui is a very critical part, if not the most critical part of tshuva. So the mitzvah, it's one, I wouldn't call it a maisa, so to speak, but it's one concept. Two components. One is the idea of returning from the sin, and the second one is doing vidui, okay, which we'll call for now an acknowledgement of the sin, okay? Okay, so let's start Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph. So the Rambam says, Kol mitzvah sheba Torah bein aseh bein lo saseh. So any mitzvah in the Torah, whether it's an aseh or an iser, im over adam achas mehen, bein bezadon bein b'shkaga. Now, let's get our terminology here straight. Zadon means purposely. Shkaga means negligent, okay? It's not like onus. Onus is different. Onus is out of my control. Shkaga is, I should have known better, okay? In both those cases, kishiyase tshuva, now notice what the Rambam says automatically. He didn't even tell us how to do tshuva. Didn't even mention it. He says, but when you do tshuva, without knowing what that is, the yashuv mechato, and then he returns from his sin. Chayav lisvado, sitayakel, baruchu, shenemar, isho isho, ki yasu. So the Rambam, right off the bat, expects you, so to speak, to know what tshuva is. He'll explain what tshuva is later on. But right now, he's letting you know, right off the bat, any mitzvah, right, that, or any violation you do, when you do tshuva, you must do vidui, okay, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay, shenemar isho isho. V'hisvadu es chatasam asher asu ze vidui dvarim, right? When it says v'hisvadu es chatasam, that means vidui with words, okay? And vidui ze mitzvah saseh, this acknowledgement, this vidui is a positive commandment. Now, he doesn't mention anything about tshuva. Ketzad misvadin, okay, so how do you do vidui? Omer ana Hashem, chatasi avisi pashati levanecha, v'asisi kach v'kach, v'renichanti uboshti v'masi, ul'olam eini chozo dabar ze. Okay? V'zehu ikaro shal vidui. Now again, that language here is very important. The Rambam seems to be quoting a formula, but he's saying the ikar vidui, meaning, v'chol marbel hisvados, marach bin ezeres emeshubach. You're not limited to simply these lines. A person can expand on vidui. He can add extra things. But there's certain elements that are critical for vidui. One is ana Hashem. That's always a critical part of vidui. You always mention what it called God, right? Personal responsibility for the sin, right? And then this idea of busha, of this embarrassment that you have. A lot of the tefillahs and Yom Kippur have these themes in them. The boshes idea. So you got to hit these major points, like acknowledgement of God, the idea that I sinned, right? Also that you're embarrassed by it, and that you'll never go back again. Okay, you could just expand on those ideas. V'chein bale chatos v'ashamos be'eshim avin komanosein al shigasan al zdonam. Okay, aim miskapel hem korbanam achi yasu tshuva. So now, let's say I'm chayiv to bring a korban chatos, right? When I bring the korban chatos, when I'm actually bringing it, no matter what the sin was, I cannot get kapara until I've done tshuva. So again, we don't even know what tshuva is yet, but what we do know is that it's pointless for me to bring the korban without having to actually engage in any tshuva. There must be some engagement in tshuva first, then I bring the korban, and then v'yisvadu vidui dvarim shenemar v'yisvadeh sharchata aleha. Okay, v'chein kol mechuyevei misos beizdim u'mechuyevei malkus. Okay, and not only that, if you're chayim in capital punishment or malkus, ein miskaper lehen b'misasan or b'likiyasan. Remember, the Gemara says misa is a kapara. When you get killed by capital punishment, that is a type of kapara. That's a type of atonement for the sin you did. Nonetheless, it doesn't work. Ad sheyasu tshuva v'yisvadu. So even in these situations, it is no, and what the Rambam is trying to emphasize here, there's no magic formula, meaning that an action on its own can never produce a kapara. There has to be some introspection, some mental process, as well as verbal acknowledgement of what you did in order to ever understand or ever have a reality of these things being miskaper you. V'chein achovu b'chaveru, right? V'hamezik mamono, okay? And let's say, for instance, if I hurt my friend physically, right? Or I steal his money. Afapi sheshilim lo, mashu chayav lo, right? Even if I fulfill the financial requirements that this prohibition has, I paid him back, right? Or by chova, let's say I paid for the damages. Einu miskaper, actually zvada v'yoshem lasos kazel olam. Shemrim kol chatos adam. There's no kapara. In other words, it's very nice that I paid for the thing I stole. But kapara, atonement, can never come about unless a person does tshuva and vidui. So that's the emphasis the Rambam here has is twofold. One, the importance of vidui per se. And number two, how there's no action a person can do to say that he's now atoned for his sin. There must be some internal process of tshuva. Without that, there's never can be such a thing as kapara. Okay? That's halacha aleph in hilchos tshuva. Halacha beis, we'll probably finish with this one. The Rambam says, Sir HaMishtaleach, now he jumps right in. We're all familiar with the Sir HaMishtaleach. That's the animal that gets thrown off the cliff and supposedly, in a sense, carries the sins of the Jewish people with it. Lefishu kapara kol Yisrael, since that is the kapara on all the Jewish people, okay, Kohen Gadol misvada alav, al lashon kol Yisrael. That's why the Kohen Gadol does a vidui using the language of the Jewish people, meaning he's representing the Jewish people. Shedemar, v'hisvada alav es kol avonos b'nei Yisrael. Okay, so it's interesting. The reason why the Rambam has to say this, of course, is because the idea of a simah shaleach automatically being a kapara, again, can't work. There has to still be some vidui. So the Kohen Gadol is the one who does the vidui. How this vidui works for the entire Jewish people, that's a separate question. That's insofar as the construct of Yom Kippur is concerned. Sir HaMishtaleach Mechaper HaKol Aveir Shabbatara Kolos VeChamuros. So the Sir HaMishtaleach is able to atone for any sins done in the Torah, no matter how severe or not. Bein Sha'avar Bezadah, Bein Sha'avar Shagagah, Mezid or Shogeg, Bein Sha'hodolo, Bein Sha'lohodolo, HaKol Meskaper Sir HaMishtaleach. So Sir HaMishtaleach is the universal atoner of all sins. V'hu She'asa Tshuva. Aval Im Lo Asa Tshuva, right? But if a guy didn't repent, Ein Asayir Mechaper Lo El Al-Kalos. Interesting. So, again, this is a big, big topic, but basically, the Sir Mishaleach will not work if you didn't do tshuva, right? It won't work on the more serious sins you did. But it would work, okay, on the lighter ones, on the not as severe ones. Umahein akalos mayna chamuros, right? But what are these kalos and what are these chamuros? What's the difference? What are serious sins and not so serious ones? Hachamuros hein shechai meleam misas beis in akaris, right? Ushvuah shavishaker, af bishahin ben kares harei hamina chamura. So you have two, basically, well, three: capital punishment, kares, which is spiritual death, so to speak, and then shvuah shavishaker, where you use God's name in vain. In those situations, those are chamuros, and if I didn't do tshuva, the seer mishalech won't work. Ushar mitzvos lo sase mitzvos sase shein ben kares heim akalos. But the other ones, right? They are considered the less serious sins, and therefore. Again, which is interesting, even though I didn't do tshuva, somehow the Seer HaMishtaleach would still be able to atone for these sins. And it's a very important question why it should work that way. The Rambam spends all of Halacha Aleph emphasizing that there is no formula until we get to the Seer HaMishtaleach, which seems to imply that there is a formula. Okay, let's stop here and we'll pick this up tomorrow. Have a good day.